Just got a few issues of the sword of the Lord left. These are very good. Four of them here. If you didn't get one, take one afterwards and do some reading. There's good stuff to read in there. And if you want to know about the work days every Saturday this month down at Countryside Baptist Church, it's our building. We don't have a church there yet. There's nobody there, but we're looking forward to it. And we were there working last Saturday, and some of our folks were outside cleaning up, and a family, somebody pulled in and asked them, when's the first service? So that was neat. We're going to watch the Lord build his church. That's what he does. He said, I'll build my church. And so we appreciate this open door that we never, ever, 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 ever thought we'd be doing this, but the Lord has worked so that we're going to be planting a church down there starting August 1st. I want to invite you all to the first service, nothing else, but just the first service, which would be the dedication service, August 1st. That's easy to remember. August 1st, 7 o'clock, that's a Thursday night. We'll be having our dedication service, and then every Thursday night I'll be going out there. All right, well, turn to Romans chapter 1 and in a moment, we'll get to that. As you can see, we've been having different questions about different subjects. This one certainly is a question that the Christian must answer. And this is number 27. These do not go on the internet, but these do go live streaming. And but the purpose of this is to help us with our theme this year, which is answers. And June, our memory verse was Proverbs 15 and verse 1. I'm sure you all remember it. All right. Boy, that'd be a good thing to remember when we talk about this hot button item or subject tonight, is that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. And there are some subjects that are so emotionally charged today, and this being one of them, and that's the subject of homosexuality. And our question number 27 is, what is the Christian answer to homosexuality? And I want to encourage you to know this answer because, you know, we can't be silent, and they're certainly not silent. That movement is very, very loud, very loud. But the simplest answer, and this I can tell you from experience, is this: it is fornication. That's the simplest answer you can get. You don't want to get into a debate with them about love, you know, and why, you know, if two people love each other, why shouldn't they be able to get married? Now, that's not the subject, and that's not the answer. That is a rabbit trail that diverts you from answering the subject. This is a subject that we need to be doctrinal about. We need to be doctrinal about, and we'll talk about that here for a little while, how we can do that. But I learned this once years and years ago when Clip Smith was on the radio in the segment that's now Bowerly and Bellavia. But he was the talk show host back then. He died. Clip Smith was a member of the board of City Mission. And he had a talk show, and he was pretty loose with the subjects and everything, and he asked me to come on and speak about homosexuality for 3 hours and take phone calls. And so I did. And I can remember being there in the little sound booth. And I stood up for 3 hours, and there was a mic hanging right here, and he was over there with a mic and headphones on. And very early in the broadcast, I just made the statement, it's fornication. And I remember he slammed his fist on the desk, and he said, "That's right. Why didn't I ever think of that? That's the answer. It's just fornication." That's the only thing we have to say. That's the only position we have to take. It's just fornication, and we cannot approve of any form of fornication. Now, I remember several decades ago, the Buffalo News came out with a front page article about the subject of fornication in the United States of America. And it basically came to this conclusion that 89% of all Americans have had sex before marriage. And that it was just a very, very loose thing. And we can remember that being spread, especially in the 1960s and 70s. Those of us that grew up in those days of the days of what was called free love. Some of you remember that, free love, they said, just, you know, whatever. Turns out it's not free. Turns out there's a tremendous, tremendous price that people pay for that emotionally, mentally, physically. Last week, the CDC, that is the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, reported that there are 8,000 teenagers every day in America who contract a venereal disease. 8,000 today, there'll be 8,000 tomorrow, there'll be 8,000 the next day, there'll be 8,000 the next day. Those numbers are absolutely staggering. Absolutely staggering. And the disease that's being spread, I remember growing up in high school, and they began sex education courses back in my day, and the purpose was for that was to solve all this. We're going to cure this so that we don't have this happening. And, well, it hasn't happened. In fact, things have just gotten worse and worse. Where there were, at the time I was growing up, 6 major STDs, that's what they're called, sexually transmitted diseases, they were concerned about. Now it's over 90. And so sex education didn't work. The only thing that works is abstinence. It's the only thing that works. And we need to be careful that with this answer, because our answer for this hot button item, and it's everywhere. I mean, just the last couple days, the American women won the soccer World Cup, whatever it was, and the captain of the team is a very loud LGBT, whatever it is, Q spokesman. And she's very involved in promoting that. And she came out and said, we're not going to go see President Trump because sometimes they have these winning teams go down to the White House and they're honored for winning whatever. We have a man in the United States of America who is running for president next year who is married to another man and often kisses him in public at his political rallies. Very, very popular in the Democratic Party primary. Hollywood is very, very loud about this subject. And the public schools are very, very loud about this subject to very, very little children. The colleges and universities are very, very loud about this subject. And the Bible says we need to what? Study to answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Now, this is a subject that is so emotionally charged that we better not only have the right answer, but we better have the right spirit when we answer the question, what about homosexuality? Believers in Christ have been fired from their jobs. Pastors in Canada and Sweden have been imprisoned for preaching what the Bible says about this subject. And a law was passed this year in New York banning conversion therapy of young people who feel confused about a same-sex attraction, and now they are not able to seek any kind of professional counseling. It's illegal for a professional counselor in New York to teach them that they can change. The only thing they're allowed to teach by law in this state is to affirm them or confirm them in their sexuality. So this thing is not going away, and it is getting louder and louder and louder. And one of the things that they're going after next, and it's probably something you'll hear soon, and I remember a lesbian lady who was talking to me about it, and she said that they're going against pulpit violence. Pulpit violence. They want to study the pulpit. They want to silence, rather, the pulpit violence against homosexuality, which means what? They don't want people preaching about it from the pulpit. So what is the Christian answer to homosexuality? And it's here's the simplest answer, especially when you explain it. It has nothing to do with hatred, has nothing to do with homophobia, has nothing to do with intolerance. You've got to remember this. The answer is it is fornication. A lot of people don't know what that word means, but it means premarital or extramarital sex, any kind of sex that's outside of a God-ordained marriage between a man and a woman. And it has a very, 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 very broad definition, the word fornication. And it is something that is extremely common in America. 89% is what the Buffalo News said 20 years ago. I don't know if things have gotten better or not. But where do we come up with this answer? Notice the key verse is Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So I want you to notice that homosexual behavior is included in the definition of fornication. It's included in the definition of fornication. You see it there. So what is fornication? Explanation, we just went over this. Any type of sexual activity outside of the biblical definition of marriage, which is one man and one woman for one lifetime. Fornication is a very broad word whose interpretation would include things like adultery, homosexuality, bisexuality, rape, premarital sex, living together outside of marriage, polygamy, bestiality, pedophilia, incest, and there's probably more. But these are certainly some of the biblical definitions of the very, very broad word. Now, as for our subject tonight, let's see what it says here. Brother Kelly's going to read for us Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet.
All right, those two verses are loaded, and we're not going to go through them tonight, but loaded with explanation about lesbianism in verse number 26 and homosexual behavior in men, what they call gay, in verse number 27. T stands for transgender, and B stands for bisexual, and Q stands for queer. They actually use that word. So if you ever hear that LGBTQ, they say it all the time now, and they have big pride parades about this and everything, and I personally believe the pride is worse than the sin. The pride's the worst sin that there is. But here's what the scripture says, and of course there's great debates of whether it's nature or nurture, and we'll get to that in our second question here in a minute, but the Bible says leaving the natural use of the woman. Women change the natural use into that which is against nature. And we just read earlier in Jude 1, verse 7, going after strange flesh, not normal. But anyways, you don't want to get into those arguments. That's at least been my experience. People have come up to me very sincerely and says, why are you against two people that love each other getting married? And then you're off into an emotional argument when this is really a doctrinal one. And usually my answer to that question is, what is love? What is love? In fact, one of the 16 definitions of love says, love behaveth not itself unseemly. And here you see in verse number 26, or 27, men with men working that which is unseemly. So that's another question, another time. What is love? Is a good question to remember. What is love? Because you get some blank stares, at least a few times. It's not like I debate this all the time or anything, but a few times I have, you get some blank stares when you ask that question. What is love? What is love? So you don't want to get off on the emotional, and you want to stick to the doctrine. Now, Jesus, look at this, used the word in the plural when speaking against it and said it defiles a man. I had somebody say that to me. Well, Jesus never said anything about it. I said, yes, he did. And right here, he says these words, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. And then notice specifically the word is fornications. There's an S at the end, not singular, plural. Murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So fornications, plural, is called evil by Jesus. And says that people are defiled by this type of behavior. So our answer is, it is fornication. I want to encourage you to know that answer. And think of this logically now. You know, I have never had anybody accuse us or the church of preaching against adultery. I mean, they might not be happy with it, but you know what I mean? Nobody said you're full of hatred and intolerance. No, I think most people generally in society say adultery's wrong. You know, or teens fornicating or these other things. Polygamy, bestiality, or somebody with children, pedophilia, or rape. You know, if you talk about those, nobody's going to question you or charge you with hatred or intolerance or anything else if you speak against those things. But boy, as soon as you get to the subject of homosexuality, it's like there's a different standard or something. These people get a pass. All these fornicators, yeah, we agree. You can go ahead and preach against them. We're not going to be offended. We're not going to be hurt. We might not agree with you. But, yeah, we understand a pastor preaching against adultery or teens and bestiality and polygamy. We understand pastors and churches and Sunday school teachers and parents speaking out against those things. Go ahead. Say all you want to. But over here, boy, this subject's like, we get a pass. This is a different standard. Isn't it strange? What a strange world we live in. But this, in God's eyes, is just like all this stuff. And that really needs to be our answer. It's fornication. We disagree with it or anything related to it because it's fornication. What does the Bible say about fornication? Not only does it define it, but let's go through some verses here. We're going to have some sword drills in a moment. But notice, clearly, look at this verse right here. We are commanded to abstain from fornication. Notice this, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is a great verse. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's the will of God. And if we present it this way and say, well, you know, our concern is that people know the Lord, that they be in the will of God, that they do God's will. And look what this verse here says in the scriptures, that they abstain from fornication. And all homosexual behavior is fornication. So I want to encourage you, don't get off on the emotionally charged arguments or something, or whether it's natural, and boy, they have got data, man, I have looked at their data that just can confuse you. I mean, they have got some scholars on their side. We've got all this stuff, man, and it's just, you can get deep into it and start questioning yourself. Just say, no, you know, God wants us to abstain from fornication. And homosexuality is one of many forms of fornication. Let's do some sword drills on these other ones here, and we'll see the same thought, abstain from fornication. So let's draw swords, if you got your Bibles, and grab them from by the binding. And the first one tonight is Acts 15:20. Go, Acts 15:20. Stand up, start reading. Okay, stay standing. Now, that we write unto them. All right, that's what, if you didn't hear Sean there, Acts 15:20 said that, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication. Look, read verse 29 now. Okay, abstain from fornication, verse 29. Thank you, Sean. All right, let's see what another verse says. Draw swords, Ephesians 5:3. Go, Ephesians 5:3. Man, that's pretty strict, isn't it? Man, alive. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Not once. Wow. That's pretty strong language. Draw swords. Colossians 3, verse 5. Go. Colossians 3, verse 5. All right, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. So the first one is what? Fornication. So sometimes believers are involved in fornication. They can be forgiven, amen? But we need to mortify that. That means put it to death. No more, okay? No more. It's kind of like the woman in adultery, remember her? Boy, there's some bizarre things out there. Some lady on the, I was reading an article, they got a thing on TV called The Bachelorette. I hope you're not watching that. Well, she's a born-again Christian. And she said, just last week she said, yeah, I have a lot of sex with different men and everything, but Jesus loves me and you shouldn't judge me. Wow. Yikes. What are we? My, oh my. When he talked to that woman in adultery, remember that? He said to her, neither do I condemn thee. She called him Lord, amen? He said, neither do I condemn thee. But then what did he say? Go and sin no more. Man, alive, what a, that's a twisted world these days. Yikes. It's not supposed to be named once among us as Christians, but if it is, then we're supposed to mortify the deeds of the flesh, fornication, and never have anything to do with it. So at the bottom, notice this, our answer needs to stay simple. Here it is. We believe all forms of fornication are wrong. I would encourage you to know that because this is a, you know, this is a question. Yeah, my brother Dave got released from a job one time because somebody asked him on the job what he thought about homosexuality. And he gave a good biblical answer, but he lost his job. And but if you word it this way and you answer with a soft answer, and just say, well, we just simply believe all forms of fornication are wrong. That's all you have to say. And therefore, we cannot accept any type of form of fornication. And even in the church, you know, we get people living together and everything, and I go up to them and I say, look, you either got to get married or break up or something, but you can't keep doing this. And I try to be patient, probably too patient in some cases, but I said, you got to make up your mind here. You either get married or split up, but you can't keep living like this. And because it's not supposed to be named once among us. And there's quite a bit of ignorance on this subject in the church. Maybe it's the pastor's fault for not teaching more. Well, let's go to the last question tonight. Question number 28. Is the way a person was born an excuse for their behavior? Well, it sure sounds like it when you listen to the news and people talking about themselves. Well, I was born this way. I was born this way. I was born this way. Our answer is no. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why would God say something like that if we were born a particular way and that justified it? Why would God command all men everywhere to repent? What's repent mean? Change of mind. Why would God say that if he made us this way? That's the argument. Well, he didn't make us this way. When he made us, we were perfect. Adam and Eve in the garden never sinned. That's what God made, but look what sin has done. So, all right, here's the verses, Acts 17, 30 through 31. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. We've said this several times this year. No matter who you're talking to, bring up the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Bring it up to them. No matter who you're talking to, humanists, atheists, agnostics, homosexuals, what do you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? And boy, get the subject on what is most important. Did Christ rise from the dead or not? And if he did, is he alive forevermore? Is he going to be our judge someday? I want to encourage you to remember the resurrection of the dead. All through the book of Acts, they preach the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Christ rose from the dead. That answers all objections. All objections. There's something very significant about Christ rising from the dead. Very powerful. Now, let's look at the explanation. A person's natural inclination does not justify that behavior. If the behavior is wrong, the person must change, not the law. God certainly does not change. God expects us to change and will help anyone who comes to him. Illustration. If a person has been quote-unquote diagnosed as a kleptomaniac, that is a person who has a persistent, abnormal impulse to steal. It could be argued that he or she was born that way. Should we expect this person to continue in that behavior and not judge him? Should he not be prosecuted if he steals things? Should his neighbors be told that they must accept his behavior and allow him to steal from them? There are people who are diagnosed as kleptomaniacs. Sometimes you hear about some Hollywood star who's a multi-millionaire, caught stealing a $50 dress from a store. It's just a lust they have to steal things. They're called kleptomaniacs. I just use that as an illustration for this. All right, is that what we should do? Should we say, hey, your neighbor's a kleptomaniac, so you can expect them to steal from you and you need to accept them and not judge them? Is that what we would say? Is that what we should say to people? Not at all. Not at all. We should say, no, wait a minute. That person should be prosecuted. And that person should be judged, and that person should be penalized, whatever it might be, for their crime. And they should be expected to change and never commit that crime again. Is that right? Does that sound right? So what you and I are diagnosed as, and all of us have a besetting sin, don't we? All of us, maybe not all of us, but some of you have really matured in the Lord and gotten great victory, but we can probably think of things that trip us up. It could be just something like pride. Here's a further explanation. All of us were born wrong naturally. Okay? Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. We are all sinners by birth and are immediately prone to do wrong. It is our nature. God did not make us that way. Sin did. When God made man and woman, they were perfect. It may be by nature or nurture that some become liars, alcoholics, drug addicts, gamblers, or filled with lust, perversion, crime. But that doesn't justify the person before God. God can change people. And so sometimes it is nurture. Maybe a parent smokes, drinks, gambles, whatever, and a child picks up on that and maybe becomes an alcoholic or something because they have been nurtured by their circumstances, their environment, to experiment with that behavior or be exposed to it or sometimes get addicted to it. But that doesn't make it right, whether it's nature or nurture. And then there's some people, just nature. What are babies like naturally? Aren't they just selfless and caring and just, hey, mom's sleeping, I'm not going to scream. I'll wait until 7 or 8 in the morning, and then even though I'm hungry now, I won't start screaming until 7 or 8 in the morning because mom's sleeping. Is that what babies are like? No, but so what do we do with their nature? We correct it. We correct their nature. Sometimes we apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And we do that with a lot of things, and that is what God expects. God expects us to change. God can change people. Let's close with some sword drills here that show us how God can change us. Draw a sword, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Go.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are come
new. All right, isn't that wonderful? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. I've shared my testimony before. I just instantaneously quit profanity. I mean, four-letter words, using God's name in vain, using Jesus Christ's name in vain, immediately stopped the second I got saved. The Bible says he purifies our hearts by faith, and that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And man, when my heart changed, my vocabulary changed. Instantly, other things I've struggled with, but there was a change. There was a change. All right, what's the score here? 3-1. 3-1. Galatians 6:15. Go. Galatians 6:15. All right. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. All right, Tracy. 3-2, last one. Oh, the women have 4. I didn't know that. Yikes. So, this one's worth 4 points. Romans 6:6. Go.
Knowing this, that our own man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth
All right. I know you didn't hear that, but we'll close with this. This is a powerful verse. Congratulations, ladies. This is a powerful verse. Listen, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Isn't that great? What a change takes place. And I'm going to finish with Kelly. He's going to read a list now from 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, 6, 9 through 11, of the types of people God can change or did change in that big church in Corinth. Go ahead.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
All right. That's quite a list of people that the Lord changed. And fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, that's men with feminine features, abusers of themselves with mankind, that's a phrase regarding homosexual behavior, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Can those people be saved? Yes. Can they be changed? Absolutely. And I think that most of you here tonight that are saved have a testimony of how God changed you. And I don't. Maybe it wasn't some of these terrible, whatever, sins or whatever you want to call them, but I think every one of you has a testimony. Say that I know since I've been saved, the Lord's changed me. The Lord's changed me. So let's not give up on people. We're not the judge. We read earlier God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's God's business. We don't know who that is. Our job is just to try to witness to them. And some of them can be saved and gloriously transformed, changed miraculously. And so let's let God be the judge. Let's just love people, try to share the gospel. And by the way, that's one of the definitions I think of love is warning people. All right, warning somebody, look, this behavior may lead to this and this and this. It might be dangerous. And if you warn somebody about cigarettes, that's love, right? Warn somebody about homosexuality, that's hatred, homophobia, intolerance. It's just weird, the thinking nowadays. But we can have answers, but we got to present them with the right spirit, or boy, you're going to, who knows what will happen. It's getting kind of militant out there sometimes. So, all right, we're going to close in prayer and head home. Hope the Lord be with you the rest of the week. Have a good week in the Lord. Be a good testimony where you work or school or wherever you're doing. Anyone that can stay, though, we're putting together the prayer letters for the barons and for the dies downstairs in rooms 5 and 6. And good to see Andrew one more time. I think he's going back Saturday. Oh, the following Saturday, he'd be around for a bit. Good to have Andrew Barron with us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and Lord, we know that there's so much fornication going on in the human race, but you're a God that loves and forgives people. And we just thank you that it's not some unpardonable sin. But Lord, it does have many, many forms, and we're supposed to abstain from every form of fornication. Help that to just simply be our answer. Lord, help us never to have hatred in our hearts for anybody, but love them with the hopes that they, like us, will come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And Lord, we pray that as the church upholds godly standards, Lord, we cannot allow this behavior like many others, but may we love the sinner and love their souls. And Lord, help us all to realize that the way we are naturally is not an excuse for our behavior. We can be saved, become new creatures in Christ Jesus, be changed and transformed by the power of God, for the old man is dead. And Lord, how we pray that you would transform us, that people could see Christ in us. We could be good testimonies. Dismiss us now, Lord, with thy blessing, and bless our fellowship among each other yet tonight. We'll pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.